Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Ravens go for it on fourth and goal. Jackson fading. Jackson throws.
He gave us the best chance to win the game. Seven. The worst that happens is if they go down the field and score, and I think we'll get them stopped. If they go down the field and score a touchdown, the worst thing that can happen is that you're in overtime. You kick a field goal there, now it's not a three-down game anymore. It's a four-down game. You're putting them out there. You're putting your defense at a disadvantage because they've got four downs to convert all the way down the field.
Tall defensive lineman. You know, they was had their hands up, and I'm trying to see what's going on. My guy, see the routes open. Seeing Duve in the corner late. If I was able to see him, like, right off the bat, that would have been a touchdown. No, I feel like we just got to execute. You know, we have them. I feel like we had some chances to keep them on the field, move the ball. You know, we just didn't execute. You just got to do a better job at that, and I feel like we'll have success.
Lamar Jackson lamenting, which was, and then which wasn't, which was a 20-3 lead, then was 20-10, and then you're inside the 5-yard line, about 4 minutes left in the game, and instead of kicking a field goal, you heard John Harbaugh explain, we're going to decide go for the touchdown, and then Devin Duvernay was wide open. We all saw it.
Wide open.
But the guy that needed to see it was Lamar Jackson. And as you heard him say, when you have a bunch of defensive linemen breathing down your neck and flailing arms around, you know, it's not just a simple equation of pitch and catch. And then all of a sudden, Lamar throwing off his back foot. Then Poyer comes over, makes the play. And the Ravens, you know, the defense couldn't make a stop. Buffalo marches down the field, kicks the eventual game-winning field goal. And Vinny, there's so many things we can get into from yesterday's game, and we will.
Yeah.
But the number one topic is not taking the points. And John Harbaugh explaining, Well, it becomes four-down game as opposed to a three-down game, and water's wet, et cetera, et cetera. But right. You have the best kicker in the history of the NFL.
Oh, it's a given.
Right, to put you in the lead. And then you put it on your defense, which, by the way, isn't all that great. We get that. But still, I mean, why 9-minute drive plus 90-plus yards and you walk away with zilch?
Yeah, and the thing about it, Bob, you know, like if this was 2019 when they were like 20 out of 20 on fourth down, different deal. They haven't been good at short yardage. You know, that would have been one of the things. And then, you know, people want to say, oh, the play call. G-Row made a hell of a call. I mean, it was a touchdown. Problem was, here's the problem. Your left tackle, Falele, gets beat right off the jump. He didn't even touch the guy. He's coming free. Moses gets beat. His guy's coming free. So, Lamar, that's why, you know, everybody, why is Lamar backpedaling? You know, Lamar's backpedaling because he's trying to buy time because they're coming from both sides. He's got these two big dudes with their arms up in the air, probably, you know, with their hands up in the air. They're over 7 feet. He can't see Duvernay. That was the problem. He saw him late. You know, so the play was a hell of a call. Just the execution sucked. The two tackles let him down. Otherwise, it's a touchdown. Otherwise, it's an easy touchdown. Boom. you know, and Duvernay, I mean, he's jumping up and down like a cheerleader in the corner of the end zone.
He's doing jumping jacks.
Right. If the two tackles would have at least just blocked him a little bit, Lamar's just, dink, touchdown, and then Harbs is, you know, and then, Buffalo, maybe we're going to overtime, probably, the way it played out. You know, I mean, Buffalo could have probably scored a touchdown there at the end if they wanted.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so I would have taken a points, Bob. I mean, you know, give me the three. And, you know, the defense wasn't playing that bad. The problem was Josh Allen was just making play. He was making Lamar-type play. What we're used to seeing Lamar do to defenses, Josh Allen did that to the Ravens. Oway had him in the backfield, you know, for another sack.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a Lamar-type play and got out of there. I mean, Josh Allen showed why he's up for the MVP.
Well, how about it's a Josh Allen-type play? Because he does that on a semi-regular basis, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was guys making plays. Buffalo, the Ravens made more plays in the first half, and Buffalo made them in the second half. Whether it be, you know, Stephon Diggs making a catch on his fingertips, basically the rest of it was Josh Allen making plays. You know,
Singletary like had a couple of big plays.
Yes, he did. On the quick screens and stuff. Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden, Singletary in the first half, he's fumbling, he's dropping balls. I mean, he did nothing. Second half, he was being back to Singletary. Bob, I got nervous when the Ravens kicked a two field goal. I said, 20-3, man. I don't know that that's enough. You know, if they could have got another touchdown.
And then Buffalo marches down and scores right before halftime.
Yeah, and it was a PI. Poyer hit him early, which that was a screw job. You know, I mean, even, you know, the referees.
Sterator.
Yeah, Sterator said should have been a penalty, which it should have been. But, you know, you still got to overcome, which they couldn't. I mean, they took it right down the field and was Josh Allen making play after play.
So the Ravens have now lost five straight home games going back to last year. But last year's team was challenged. They were banged up. But all five losses, by the way, as they've accumulated, they were leading in every single one of them. But the two this year, even more frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You're up 21 going into the fourth quarter against Miami.
Right.
And then you're up 17, middle of the second, towards the end of the first half against Buffalo. And both Miami and Buffalo are really good teams, but don't we think the Ravens are a really good team? You got to close these games, man. You've got to close the deal however you need to get it done. And forced a couple more turnovers yesterday. Now the Ravens themselves turned it over.
Yeah. They got two turnovers in the fourth quarter, and the Ravens turned it over twice in the fourth. You know, and that's going to kill you. I mean, Lamar's the tip, that kind of change. But they held the defense, you know, they held him on that one. That was a hell of a job by the defense there, you know. But they just, you know, I mean, eventually, you know, guys like Allen and Lamar and Mahomes, they're going to get some plays.
You got Joe Burrow coming to town on Sunday night, too, by the way.
Yeah. The only thing is, Bob, he can't maneuver like Josh Allen can, you know, so that may help the Ravens.
But he's got some weapons, and we'll break down that Bengals game. But first things first, talking about what happened in M&T yesterday. Ravens lose again at home. Now 2-2 on the year. Cleveland's 2-2. Bengals now 2-2. Steelers lose at home to the Jets. We'll get into all of that as well. But if we're looking for what's wrong with the Ravens, and I'm using air quotes, ladies and gentlemen, what's wrong with them? What's the major problem through 4 weeks?
Consistency. You know, I mean, Bob, I mean, you just look at the play chart, you know, the second half for the Ravens offense. I mean, you got 20 points at the half, okay? And you're playing well offensively. Then you go punt, punt, intercept, intercept. Consistency on if they just score a field goal, if they just, you know, or just score 7 points in the second half, they win the game easily. You know, so consistency is the problem. Is they just can't play four quarters consistently. Now, the defense, let's just say, I mean, the defense is not going to be phenomenal.
It's not your 2000 Ravens, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. You know, but Bob, they played good enough to win defensively. Played good enough to win with the turnover, you know, with the turnovers and stuff. They played good enough to win.
They didn't get shredded.
No. No. I mean, they didn't give up big plays.
I mean, Diggs made some big plays, but he didn't dominate them. Same with Josh Allen.
Right.
And it's not like Buffalo got at Lamar Jackson seven times either. I mean, the Ravens were pretty much steady and holding the line until they couldn't get it done at the end. And then, unfortunately, the defense couldn't get that stop. Now, Oway, the mandate, Vinny, was to allow them to score. And it was Singletary.
Yes.
And Oway says after the game, and we'll hear from all of the parties involved, that he was going for the fumble, the strip. And instead, you know, Singletary goes down and they burn their last time out. And we all know how it all unfolded. So the communication issues or lack thereof. There you go again. Where everyone, I guess, Oway got the mandate to,
Right.
Got to score.
Don't go strip. Just
the memo. Where's the memo?
Let him go. I mean, Bob, you know, I mean, if you're the Ravens, you say, okay, we had the ball 38 minutes. You know, we were 46% on third down. I mean, you know, we weren't bad. Other than the turnovers, if they didn't turn the ball over, they're probably going to score those two times because they're at the 50, you know, and they're moving the ball when the tip happened. Mm-hmm. And then in the other one, if you get field goal, game's over. I mean, it has to be for the coaches, especially like Giro, they left a lot of stuff out there, and it's probably really frustrating.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Monday, you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Ravens lose 23-20, fall to 2-2 on the year. Lamar brought this up post-game yesterday. Hey, 2019, we were 2-2, had lost two in a row, and then won 12 straight.
Yeah.
Do they have that in them? That remains to be seen. They are 3.5-point favorites. Early line against the Bengals coming up on Sunday Night Football. Orioles yesterday beat the Yankees 3-1. Win the series, keep Judge homerless, so he's still chasing Maris. But the Orioles with the win yesterday guarantee their first winning season in 6 years. Three-game series against Toronto. Blue Jays trying to clinch the top wild card in the American League. Weather, quite frankly, is not looking all that great for the next couple of days. But Kyle Bradish, good again. Rutschman and Henderson doing some good things on the field. Hayes with a sack fly. So very good performance from the Orioles. Yeah, they got their pants pulled down Saturday. D.L. Hall was great in relief on Friday, getting the save. And then yesterday, Tate, he closed it out. So 82-77 are the Orioles. Successful season, absolutely. They're 30 games above their win total from last year. 30. First team since 1900. To finish above 500 after losing 110 games in a season the year before. Now the offseason will be very interesting. Yep. And still 3 games left. So you're trying to close out strong against Toronto. Looks like the Orioles are going to sign a lease. They're going to stick around. They weren't moving anyway. Anybody believing that nonsense is living in fantasy land. But it looks like the lease will be signed. They're here for the long haul in the Charm City. Now it's the offseason of improving, developing, and hoping for more, because the American League East doesn't stand still and wait for you to catch up. They're always ahead of the curve in the Orioles now. Going to have to keep up with the Joneses. Maryland wins on Saturday against Michigan State. We'll talk about that. More college football later in the show. Two coaching vacancies are there. We'll get into all of that and more. It was a busy weekend in sports, and we're talking about it here on The Fan.
Work sucks. They don't. 105.7 The Fan.
John, was it communicated to everyone when you were trying to let them score? Because it looked like something.
Yes, it was. Yeah, emotions run high. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're on the same page. You know, he and I, we got a great relationship. We got an honest relationship. You know, I love him. I hope he still loves me. We'll see. You know, but I'm a Marcus Peters guy.
John Harbaugh obviously talking about Marcus Peters, who had to be restrained. Chris Hewitt. Because he was going at old ball coach there, John Harbaugh. Mighty men feeling the heat as the Ravens lose another one at home. And you also heard John Harbaugh in the opening cut there talking about the fact that everyone was on the same page or knew that the plan was to allow Buffalo to score. But I guess there was a communication issue with Adafe Owe. Owe himself said he was going for the strip fumble. Unfortunately, it did not take place. It was a tackle. They burned their last time out, and then Buffalo just kind of ran it down to kick the game-winning field goal.
Because I, Bob, I think that he goes in. You know, I think he was going to single. I think he would have scored. You know, I mean, that was your only chance. That was your only chance. And Buffalo played it. I mean, Bob, they played it perfectly just because, you know, Josh Allen's a smart dude. I mean, because he runs the quarterback sneak or whatever, Bob, gets the first down, then it was totally over. You know, then they had no shot, which was, to me, really smart on Josh's part.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan. Evan Washburn's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. He was there yesterday for CBS. Got it. Saw it live and in person, so we'll get his thoughts on what happened yesterday and where the Ravens go from here. Now 2-2 hosting Cincinnati. We'll have Vinny's keys. We'll look back at those coming up at 11 o'clock, but let's get to the phones. Go to Baltimore. It's William. William, you're on the Fan with Vinny and Haney.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, William. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, yeah, I'm going to vent a little bit, as usual. I'm a little mad. I'm a little ticked off because of the Ravens' play calling. I think they should have went ahead and kick the field goal, but since they did not go with the field goal, you cannot call a play where Lamar has to drop back and all this kind of foolishness has got to be quick because the offensive line is not that good. Now, Duvernay, I saw the play, and I clearly saw what happened. Lamar was not looking for Duvernay. He was looking for Andrews, who was double-covered and triple-covered. When Andrews crossed over to the right side, he brought traffic with him, and Lamar floated the ball in traffic. That's the same thing he did last year at the end of the year. Now, the thing is, how did he get down to the one-yard line? Duvernay. Who hasn't dropped the ball this year? Duvernay. So you mean to tell me you can't call a quick slant to the guy that don't drop the ball? And another thing, why was Locke, Isaiah Likely, not involved in that game? Why was James Prochet not involved, even though Bateman was obviously sore and Bateman wasn't 100% something was wrong with Bateman? To me, they're not taking advantage of what they have, and it's costing this team. And it's happening over and over and over again. And Lamar been around too long for this. He should know that you have to use the guys that's catching the ball and stop looking to throw the ball in traffic. Now, I'll hang up and listen to you guys comment on it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Likely didn't even show up on the stat sheet.
Yeah.
Prochet.
Prochet.
Not at all.
Five snaps.
Yeah, so, you know, not there, as William pointed out.
But I don't have a problem with the play call. It was a hell of a call.
But getting back to Bateman, though. His performance yesterday. And he got hurt. Lower body injury. Had a couple of gaffes there. Yeah. And I know the degree of difficulty was certainly there in a couple of instances, but...
Yeah, he had, two drops, I think? I mean, two plays that, you know, we saw Diggs make a play like that later, and he's a number one receiver. And, you know, if Bateman catches that slant route, Bob, it's a first down. I mean, those are the kind of things, you know, that you got to make. I mean, if you want to be that guy, make those plays. You know, like Diggs, you know, fourth quarter, you know, Diggs catches it in his fingertips. And basically, you know, Bateman has the same thing on third down. And he lets it go through his hands. I mean, those are the kind of plays that he's got to make.
Let's get back to the phones. People venting. Joe in Woodbury. Joe, you vent today or are you feeling good?
Oh, man, I'm sitting and listening to a lot of good analysts calling in, man. I mean, Vinny, from the first time you talked about what happened with the tackles and that rush and Lamar running back, that was true. Then just like this last caller, Lamar wasn't looking for Duvernay. He was looking for Andrews. That was a good point. My point was that overthrow to Anderson, to the tight end. And remember the overthrow when he could have had that touchdown? I mean, that was a good point there. But Bateman later caught a ball where it seemed like he had stickum on his hands. You know, it's a lot of things that went right and went wrong in that game. But I still attribute a lot of stuff to play calling, because I cut it off that after the second drive of the third quarter, because I said, here we go again. I turned my TV on Red Zone because it seems as though whatever Greg Roman does in the first half, defenses come back the second half, and we stumble. And it's like he don't know what to do, but he calls the plays. And for him not to use what he has, and I'm just thinking about, you know, how we the way we draft, the way we coach, the way the plays we call, they all intertwine with one another. But the one thing I can't stand the most is Harbaugh and his analytical book. Now, his analytical book don't apply to the team personally, because it's like, well, what have we done that we're able to do constantly? And a lot of times it's we don't get fourth downs constantly. You go all the way back to last year and not kicking the field goals. You can go all the way back to last year. So take the points, Harbaugh. And it's just the fourth game of 17, y'all. But, when Lamar plays good, what he does wipes away all the other mistakes that the whole team's made.
That's what Josh Allen did yesterday in the second half.
Thanks, Joe. So Joe questioning some of the play calling. He was so frustrated, he turned the game off. Yeah. Use a biblical reference for you, Joe. Remember Moses he doubted God for a couple seconds, never got to go to the promised land?
Mm-hmm.
You can't change the channel, because the Ravens could go to the promised land when it's all said and done. If you're on the phone, tag tight. We'll get you later in the hour. But coming up next, Evan Washburn, CBS. He was on the sidelines watching it all unfold live and in person, his impressions of the game. And the AFC North, the AFC in general. Remember how this was going to be a powerhouse conference? Right now, through 4 weeks, the records say otherwise.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere else.
Good evening, Haiti, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Ravens lose yesterday, 23-20. Final play, Tyler Bass kicking a field goal. Ravens dropped to 2-2, blow a 20-3 lead in the first half. They've lost five straight at home. Cincinnati's coming to town next Sunday night. Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. Their early line, 3 2-2 teams in the North. We'll get into all of that and more, but joining us now to talk about what he saw yesterday, because he was there for CBS Sports. He was on the sideline watching it all unfold. He's on the Ashley Furniture Hotline. Let's welcome in Evan Washburn. Evan, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Bob, good to be with you guys.
Appreciate it as always, Evan. And as you're watching that Ravens drive, as they're marching 90-plus yards, eating up over 9 minutes of clock. I mean, I know you're an unbiased observer. You're just gathering the news and sharing it with the listeners. But was there a surprise level for you that John Harbaugh elected to go for it and not take the points with 4 minutes-plus left?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I think the history and recent history, I would say, with Harbs and just the approach of this team, especially now that they have Lamar going for it, fourth down, has not necessarily become commonplace, but it's got to be part of your thought process when you're evaluating, analyzing, reporting on how they approach things. I guess the only thing that sort of stood out is it felt, I don't know if rushed is the right word, but it kind of all of a sudden was happening. There wasn't this deliberation. It almost felt like maybe they said earlier in the drive, like, we're going for it on fourth. But, it was obviously a pivotal moment, but didn't strike me as shocking in the moment.
Now, it was a tale of two halves. Ravens dominate the first half, Buffalo the second. Ravens didn't even score, obviously, in the second half. What adjustments did Buffalo make to slow down the Ravens' offense?
Well, I think they woke up. I really do feel that the hangover of what they went through in Miami had a real toll on that team, especially their offense throughout the week. And they described that to us in our conversations with them. And I felt it in the first quarter. Look, the conditions were a factor and guys were dropping balls, more Bills guys in the first half and felt like a couple more Ravens guys in the second half. So there was that. But I think they finally just sort of kind of got back to their rhythm offensively. And defensively, I think they are still working through so many changes. So Jordan Poyer comes back off an injury. He still doesn't have Micah Hyde with them. They lean on that pass rush. I think what I've noticed, and you guys watch as much Ravens as anybody, second half sometimes teams, it's not so much an adjustment, but they get used to having to deal with Lamar, how to best attack him, how to best rush him, how to best face that offense, because it is so unique at times. So I didn't hear or see any massive scheme change defensively. I think they just settled down and got used to playing against that Ravens offense.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you on that, Evan, because I think, like, Giro, he called a good game. I thought the Ravens in the second half, they kind of beat themselves. I mean, look, you come out and start third quarter, you got a false start penalty before you even run a play. Then your next series, you're moving the ball, and you get a deflection for an interception. Then, you know, then you're starting the fourth quarter, and they're going, you know, 10 minutes. So they stopped themselves, really.
Absolutely. And look, when it's two playoff caliber teams, especially a team in Buffalo that as ugly as it was early, they are confident and explosive. And I know that Ravens fans hate hearing comparisons to week two, but very similar in the sense that you may feel like you have Buffalo in check, and then boom, they can put up 20 pretty quick. So you can't beat yourself when the margin for error is that slim. And you saw that. And look, it went both ways, too. I mean, there were some calls that I know frustrated people, and there was dropped interceptions that could have changed things. It was one of those games where every play truly did matter in some form or fashion. Obviously, the focus is now on going for it on fourth down, or a call that didn't happen, a PI that should have been called, all those things. But as laid out there, Vinny, there's a lot that led up to it.
Now, Evan, I thought when I saw they call the roughing the passer, I thought, you know what? The referee felt like, you know, those two times when Queen drilled him, I probably should have called it then. You know, I'm not letting it go three times in a row.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to get into the head of officials and how they determine when it's time to do it. I've seen it in multiple ways, and this is a big screen grab game from fans. For whatever reason, I'm on like certain, I'll get linked on things on Twitter and I'll check it and it'll just be screen grabs of this penalty on this guy or this should have been called. So there was plenty of that in this one and maybe could have been a factor for that roughing call. But both these quarterbacks took a number of shots and look, they were warriors in a lot of ways. Not to overuse that term, but yeah, maybe that fell into that category for the official in the moment.
Evan, I'll bet you, because I didn't think the Ravens defense played that bad in the second half. I didn't think they played bad, but all of a sudden, Josh Allen was Josh Allen. You know, I mean, now, you know, the Ravens defense is like, okay, now we see what the other teams when Lamar's running around like that now, you know, because Oway should have sacked Josh Allen on the one play. And then, you know, Queen coming off the corner, you know, on a blitz has got him lined up. And then, you know, Josh runs for the touchdown. I mean, they just saw, you know, a dude that's a great player make great plays.
No, it's a good point, Vinny, because the approach from Miami last week and then Baltimore this week defensively, and it's similar to what we've seen with how teams defend Kansas City, is they got the two high safeties and they just want everything in front. They want no big plays. They're going to, you know, allow check downs and no rally tackle and then hopefully cause a few turnovers. They did that. What I saw in the second half was Buffalo went off script because they really wanted limit the design runs for Josh Allen this year. They know how valuable he is, and even though he's a fantastic runner, they just want him to take less hits. And that's something they communicated when we were getting ready for this game. But I think when they're in the moment and they realize, look, this is our best version of offense and it's going to win us a pivotal game, we're going to go to it. And they went to more, I think, called runs for Allen, and then he scrambles when necessary. So I agree with you. It wasn't what Baltimore wasn't doing defensively. It's what the Bills decided they needed to do offensively to get back in that game.
Evan Washburn joining us, Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. CBS, he was there yesterday as they were on the call as the Ravens lose a tough one to Buffalo, 23-20. Last thing for you, Evan, Bengals come to town, taking on the Ravens, for instance, in the division. Browns have the Chargers. Steelers are at Buffalo. So I guess the early game for supremacy, we know what Cincinnati and Joe Burrow did to them last year. Baltimore, you mentioned pivotal. I mean, are there such things as pivotal game fives in an NFL now 17-game season?
I think so, Bob, because the more I think about it this year, I'm a true believer that weeks 1 through 4, maybe you throw 5 in there too, are extensions of the preseason when it comes to evaluating who's good and who's going to struggle over the course of the season. The games matter, though. The records are real. And the way the AFC is lining up, and this is how we forecasted it ahead of the year, and I feel like it's fitting that narrative that it's just going to be a gauntlet to get not only into the postseason, but obviously advance, just because all the talent is in the AFC. I mean, there's a couple good NFC teams, but, man, it's a steep climb. And I just, the more I think about it, you can't dig yourself into a hole with how you play in September and October and expect to be able to reasonably get out of it in November and December. So that's where, to your point, yes, week 5 is a pivotal game for Baltimore. The fact that it's a team that I think will be right there with them in the division down the stretch to capture that crown, this game has massive stakes attached to it. And I think they need to – look, the home stuff, I'm not really buying into that. That was last year. Yeah, they should have beat Miami at home, but more so for themselves, like, hey, let's win and win convincingly, especially if they have a lead. Like, let's finish this thing. I mean, I think finish has to be the operative word with Baltimore for the foreseeable future.
Evan Washburn, where are you guys going to be this weekend?
I got a random one. We're a little cross-flex action. I'm being Carolina for Panthers 49ers. So excited to kind of get out of the net for the AFC North, AFC East for a little while.
Evan Washburn, appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Evan.
You too. Yep.
There it is. Evan Washburn, CBS. We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Top of the hour. Look at Vinny's keys. Ravens lose. How many keys did they hit in defeat? Coming up 11:15, the whip around. Some epic games in Major League Baseball last night. Playoff berths were clinched. Summer now on life support. We'll get into that. Your calls. Fun house trip with Nolan McGraw. Ravens, they're 2-2. They were 2-2 in 2019. They wound up winning 12 straight games. Can they duplicate it? I'm saying no, but stranger things have happened.
One day trades.
3 cents a share. That's $3.
You cheap.
And one plays scratch offs.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose.
If they still work here, you can bet they're in the bend. Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
That's our coaches having the utmost confidence in us. And when they call a play, whatever the case is, whatever the look is, it's our job as players to execute. So I have no issue with it. And we gotta perfect those things.
Morgan Moses talking about the decision that John Harbaugh, Greg Roman made to go for it on fourth down. Instead of kicking a field goal, which would have given the Ravens a 23-20 lead. Instead, Lamar throws a pick and the Ravens wind up losing 23.
Morgan Moses was one of the ones at fault. I mean, if he would have, you know, if he would have blocked his guy and Falele blocked their guy, Lamar standing there, touchdown. You know, it would have been simple. And then all of a sudden we don't have all this. And, you know, maybe we're going to overtime or whatever because they scored a touchdown. But the Ravens would have been up 7. It was a good call. It was just poor execution by the two tackles because Lamar knew where he was going to go. I mean, he would have had all day to throw. If Moses would have just kind of, because that was front side, and that's where he couldn't see. That's why he had to keep retreating, because he couldn't see. And that's what took all the time, you know, and then the ball kind of floated out there, and Poyer comes across, you know, and I don't think Duvernay saw Poyer, because if he could have kept working back to the ball and go get it.
Sure.
You know, maybe he's got a better chance.
Let's get out to the phones. People have been running hot today as the Ravens fall to 2-2. Let's go to Owings Mills. It's Brian. Brian, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Good morning. You know, you're right, Bob. You know, around, you know, it's one thing, like, it's bad execution. And I didn't have a problem with going for it. My brother was like, they should have just kicked a 3. We're arguing. I said, no, this defense stinks. And it wouldn't have mattered anyway, because, I mean, the fact that they were up 20 points, there's no way that team should have came back, you know, a defense. Well, the problem is, yeah, Matt, BK and Oway are the two youngest guys on the line. You keep bringing these old, washed-up guys, you know, it's just and the linebackers are bad. You know, you got a guy that shouldn't even be in the NFL in McQueen. He's just is not his level. I'm sorry. You see, and he's been here, what, 2-3 years now?
It's his third year.
Yeah, third year.
Steve McQueen?
You can tell. I mean, anybody. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
You said Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
He would have made that play.
You know, Steve McQueen would have made that play. This Patricia McQueen can't make plays. He can't be in the league. It's obvious. And I love Marcus Peterson. I hope nothing comes from this, because he's probably my favorite Raven player out of all of them. He's the only one that, you know, that just he's like Ed Reed. He can stand up to the coach, say what he want to say, and he don't care what you think. Unlike everybody else, is like real passive aggressive. He's not. So I hope he doesn't get disciplined for letting Harbaugh know how he felt. But at the same time, your front line stinks, dude. You know, I would like, you know, I wish I could talk to him, because I'm like, this defense is not good. But anyway, love you guys.
All right, Brian, thanks. By the way, you don't think Peters gets in trouble for popping off, do you?
No, not at all.
I mean, Harbaugh seemed to understand.
Thing, yeah. You know, yeah, I mean, people run hot during the games and stuff, man. That's just the emotion of the game. That's why, you know, that's why it's such a great game.
Now, Jimmy Smith, transitioning to a former Ravens DB, later on this afternoon after John Harbaugh meets his weekly Monday press conference, Jimmy Smith going to officially announce his retirement from the National Football League as a member of the Ravens. So Jimmy Smith, Super Bowl champion, you know, when he was healthy, Vinny, really good player, but problem with Jimmy Smith was that was a rare occurrence.
Yeah, just because, you know, I mean, Bob, he dropped in the draft just because of off-the-field issues. That's why the Ravens got him at the 25th pick or whatever it was something like that. But, I mean, he was always a super talent. I mean, he's a tall corner that could run, you know. So, and like you said, he had some injury issues. But when he was healthy and stuff, he was really good for them.
He was a matchup DB for sure. So Jimmy Smith going to retire later today. Let's get back to the phones. Hey, Brian just brought up Patrick Queen. Robin Belair apparently wants to talk about the third-year linebacker from LSU. What's up, Mike? Or Rob. Excuse me. Hey, Rob.
On?
How you doing, bud?
Let's start. Can we dunk him in a stick'em pool so that he finally can make a catch, Bob? I'm going to use Lester Hayes, one of your...
My man, Lester Hayes.
Yeah.
That was a tough play, though, because it was like a deflection, you know?
I know, Vinny, but the one in New England...
No, that was right in his chest.
And then I know Josh Allen's a big guy. I know that. His angles on him were terrible.
Yep.
It's like he dragged him into the end zone. He just dragged him. It was... and then let me, Malik Harrison, what does he do for the Ravens?
Nothing.
I've not been a Malik Harrison fan, Powers fan. I mean, it's just the players they have are just guys. I mean, let's go back to adjustments. There was nobody better in the NFL in the history was Joe Gibbs of making halftime adjustments, Vinny. He was incredible at halftime adjustments. We are not. For some reason, it's always been the issue with the Ravens, with halftime adjustments. Because I'm going to go back to something that you said, too, that I've agreed with. Why was Lamar under center, even in that one play? And then Dobbins, if he just goes to the left, he walks into the end zone. He runs into whatever. But you made a great point. When they do, like, the veer or whatever it is, and have him, like, run or fake the run – it throws them off, but instead he goes under center, and then he gets stuffed. Dobbins gets stuffed, or at least hand it to Ricard and let.
You know what the problem on that play was? Moses whiffed, you know,
right.
And then their pullers came, and then everything got clogged up, you know. So they had the extra guy because Moses was laying on the ground. Moses did not have a good game.
No, he didn't. And you made the great point. God, you hit it right on the nail. When Ravens started having to kick field goals in that one thing, I was like, oh,
yep.
Boy. You know, I mean, because you knew the Bills were going to make a run.
Yes.
They're that good.
Yep.
But the Ravens just can't answer these runs for some reason in the second half. It's like you said, punt, punt, interception, punt, punt. I mean, eventually, I mean, you got to put teams away like that. It's what happens if they have to play Kansas City? Let's hope it gets to that point
right.
where they have to play Kansas City, because that means they're in the playoffs. Mahomes, he's a machine. Did you watch him against Tampa?
Yeah.
I mean, when he gets on a hot roll, it's hard to stop, and you've got to match him every single time. So I'm at loss with going going for the field goal.
When you hang up, listen, because I'm going to explain, because I think Giroux did make adjustments at the half. I mean, here's the problem. You come out first and 10 on the 35. You know, you get a false start from the get-go. I mean, the center snapped it earlier, moved or whatever. So, I mean, you're first and 15. And then what happens on the next play? He's throwing back across the field. Why? Because they're rushing him. You know, they're blitzing him. And the tackles couldn't hold up. So that was a problem there. So, you know, all of a sudden then you're second and 15. And then he throws it to Andrews, out of bounds overthrow, because he's pressured again. You know, so that was a crap drive. Then the next time you come out, you're moving the ball. You know, you get to the third and 8, 43. That's when Bateman, you know, he throws a, you know, Bateman's wide open, you know,
gets
put it on him, make the catch.
Gets a little yak out of that, too.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, is that Giroux's fault? No, it was a hell of a call. Just the execution wasn't good. Then, you know, then that's the end of the third quarter right there. Then they come out the next time and they're moving the ball. They're second and 5 on the 41, you know, and the deflection and the interception. They get the ball on the 50-yard line. So is that Giroux? You know, no. And then the next time, Bob, they go 15 plays.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Vinny's keys, we'll look back on those for Friday. Ravens lose, so how many did they hit in defeat? Whip around coming up at 11:15. Some pretty cool stuff happened historically in the world of Baltimore sports. And if you're a San Diego Padres fan, you're celebrating because you're going to the playoffs as they clinch without even winning a ball game. I almost cussed. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. More of your phone calls. Fly down strip with Nolan McGraw, as he's all, is he running hot or is he Nolan? I can't tell.
Yeah, he was quiet all day yesterday. Too.
Are you running hot or are you just kind of percolating over there?
We have to wait till 11:45 to find out.
Okay, I can't wait. Neither could anyone else here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.